From the short tracks to the super speedways, from two wheels to four wheels, it's Revved Up ATX on the Horn with Bobby Chaffee and Rodney Rodriguez. This is where Austin talks racing.
Real race talk on the Horn Saturday morning, rolling along. Give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at RevedUpATX. The station at the Horn ATX. Crossway Showtime, Bobby Chaffee. Crew chief, spotter, extraordinaire behind the glass, it is Mr. Ty Henderson. Lots to break down as we are into the magical month of May. Knocking on that door of the Indianapolis 500 coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll talk to Jade Gerse, get some real good intel on the Indianapolis 500. Have to talk here shortly about the All-Star Race over at Texas Motor Speedway. That is this weekend. Later on in Pit Stop News and Notes and Places for Races, Formula One breakdown as they head to Spain with some changes. Yeah, Formula One, man, the middle of the season making some changes at the it is what it is. They do what they do. Formula One is Formula One. Bobby, we got to talk about, especially on the brink of the Indy 500, man. Kurt Busch is the Frank Gore of NASCAR. This guy, I'll tell you, the resume, yeah, he's got a championship. People forget he has a championship. It's like they talk about all the different places that he's been. He makes every place better. Oh, by the way, he's got a championship, too. Dude's certified badass.
Is he Hall of Fame worthy, though?
Absolutely. I think so.
I mean, with all the wins he's had in all the different organizations, he won the championship early, way back. 2004, right?
Four.
2004.
Yeah.
The first one of the elimination.
The Rubbermaid car.
That's right. And so with the Sharpie pay job.
Yeah.
So he's done a lot there and managed to make a lot of other stuff better. He was the one that turned around Furniture Row for them to be the, you know, once they got their stuff together and then got all their ducks in a row and then hooked up with Gibbs, it was just like a juggernaut that was there for a couple of seasons. So he's done really good. Kind of a surprise victory with the way that 2311 has been racing, but when the Toyota showed up, man, all of them in the top six.
Yeah.
Top 10, rather.
Right. And I think a lot of the transformation with Kurt, of course, you got Kyle. Kyle is Kyle. Kyle does what he does. Kurt Busch, I mean, if you remember, you know, back, I mean, the reason that he's moved around so much is he got fired all the time. He was getting thrown out of jobs and getting in legal trouble, and there was the incident with the lady there, the secret agent or whatever she was, all that mess. But which, of course, then we see he's actually getting divorced now. I don't know what that's all about. But I think that's a lot of where you look at the complete story of Kurt Busch is where you go in and you see where, you know, they say as you get older, you're more mature, you do smarter things. But that really is a story for me with Kurt Busch because he was, man, he was a lot like Kyle. But the dude's turned himself around. He's been humbled a bunch of times, and I think that's a lot of it. A little humble pie always seems to help you get on the right track. But the transformation of him, but all along, he's just been a tremendous racer.
Yeah, I mean, the rock bottom, I think, is when he got fired by Penske after cussing out Dr. Jerry Punch on that deal. That's something you don't do. Dr. Jerry Punch is
a doctor.
He's what? TV royalty, if you could say that.
Sheesh.
But that was his rock bottom moment. But I think James Finch, the rebound there, taught him a lot when he ran for James Finch there that one season when he ran for Phoenix Racing. When he said, look, I'm not going to put up with your antics. You know, you need a ride. I got a ride. Let's just go race.
Absolutely. And, you know, Allmendinger, you know, kind of the same scenario there. But Allmendinger was never with the Penske correlation. But it was never a thing with Allmendinger with attitudes and so forth and getting, you know, thrown out of stuff the way it was with Kurt Busch. And the other part of it is like talking about Indy. You know, folks don't realize, dude finished sixth in the Indy 500. He's run it one time. He finished sixth. Imagine if he'd have done it more often. I mean, the dude is the full package. And it's like, it's one of those things where it seems like every year you can count that he's going to win. He's going to get in the playoffs. He's somehow going to find a way to win. But the job that he did there chasing down Kyle Larson, I mean, he chased him down, and he beat the best of the best. And that tells you right there, he took a lot of pride in that he beat both of the Kyles. And I can tell you one thing, if you can outrun one of them, it is really good. But two of them, that was massive what he pulled off in Kansas.
Well, and you have the video that's going to live in infamy. Every time NASCAR does a promo where they're trying to interview Denny Hamlin, the car co-owner, there with Michael Jordan at 2311, It's they go from the interview with Jamie Little to the in-car audio with Kurt Busch, the instant moment that you celebrate, and both of them have the elation of winning and everything else. And that's got to be cool to win for Michael Jordan, you know, whether or not people really – I think that's been an underrated story about – it was real blown up last year.
Sure,
with Bubba Wallace coming in and driving for Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin. Then they quietly expanded to two cars this year with the Undertaking, and that second car gets a win. I mean, that's impressive for 23-11.
I really knew that when we started hearing the rumblings that Kurt Busch was going to be the one to come in. And it's not Kurt Busch's job to groom Bubba Wallace. And, I mean, Bubba Wallace done this long enough, in my opinion, now. I mean, it's a situation, you know, where you talk about the youngsters over at Hendrick, where you had Jimmy Johnson kind of there guiding them, but those were very, very young guys that were very young in their Cup career. It's not Kurt Busch his job to guide Bubba Wallace, and that's not taking a slight at Bubba Wallace. He's done this long enough. He's been in situations, but you absolutely know it. And Bubba has gotten better, it seems like, this year. He's been more productive, but you knew that when Kurt Busch came to 23-11, the offshoot Gibbs team, whatever you want to call it, you knew when he came there that the production was going to get a hell of a lot better, and we're seeing it right there out of the 45 car.
Yeah, he was there to make 23-11 better.
Right.
In theory, if 23-11 gets better, Bubba Wallace gets better. So I think that they've accomplished their goal already. I still love the fact, remember the 23-11 Irish racing team is numbers 23 and 32, and I'm like, no, you can't have the Cup car be number 32, mm-hmm. since Michael Jordan wore two numbers in his career, number 23 and number 45. It's just right. It's perfect that those two cars have those two numbers. But I mean, 23-11, it's interesting to see the correlation with Pitbull's team with Trackhouse and Justin Marks, how they've won a couple of races and made themselves players in the game. Now you've got 23-11 with all the resources. When the Toyotas were down, 23-11 was down. Now the Toyotas are up, 23-11 and Gibbs are up too. So it's just a matter to see what happens. The Blue Oval gang kind of getting left in the dust right now.
It's this car, man. It's a magical car, the Gen 7 car. But yeah, just a big deal for them. And yes, they did win. Like we talked about, who was it? Rick Mast, about the whole, you know, what he would give to win a rain race. Yeah, Bubba won last year, but the actual, and we don't discount a rain win at all. But I mean, to actually punch the card and do victory lane, like you're talking about, and do all of that. And I got to tell you, this is really making me wonder. I saw a Denny Hamlin. A vulnerable Denny Hamlin after that race. Emotional. We've seen him at his worst a lot of times. But I saw somebody totally encapsulated in that moment, and it's really making me start to wonder if at some point, because here's the situation with that. You know that Truex or Denny, something's got to give there, because Ty Gibbs has got to get in one of those cars. So I wonder if we don't have another charter required and you get another car. I mean, it's all Gibbs. I mean, it's all Gibbs, whatever. But it's really making me wonder with Denny Hamlin. It's not a Denny Hamlin year. He does have the win. He's in the playoffs. But I'm really starting to wonder what the future course is going to be for Denny. I think the clock is ticking.
Well, the consistency's not there. Last year he had all those top 10 finishes, all those finishes on the lead lap. This year he's not been so lucky. He kind of lucked into the race that he won anyway, the way that they did it. It wasn't the dominating fashion there.
Right.
He kind of lucked into winning that one with circumstances that left other people not being as productive as they needed to be. But I really feel that it's all going to be sponsorship driven. You know, he's not going to be able to take FedEx with him.
Nope.
That's the problem. He's not going to be able to take FedEx with him. FedEx is going to stay with Joe Gibbs if they stay in at all. I'm kind of surprised without any of the other competition with UPS gone and DHL gone. I'm really surprised that FedEx has stayed in as long as they have. But not that we've heard rumors that they're going to leave or anything. But right now you've got the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which is in the corner of the room. That's Kyle Busch and his sponsorship deal, which I think he'll get it. He may not get as much money as he was making before with M&Ms, but it's hard to see Kyle Busch. He's been as polarizing as he is and as much bad publicity as he gets for doing stupid stuff. I still find it hard that there's not going to be a company out there that's going to try to sponsor Kyle
Busch. Absolutely, absolutely. And, I mean, that's eyeballs right there. I mean, everything he does, it's like the Nick Saban thing that everybody's talking about this week. That was a calculated move right there by Nick to get donors to give. And when Kyle Busch does things, I mean, when he does what – I mean, it's great television. television, for one thing. It's great audio. I mean, we sit here and we play these clips all the time of the things that he has said in the past. I mean, he's doing it for a reason. And people will find that, especially this day and age where you have corporations and companies to where they're not walking the normal company line. You know, it's not the white collar, everything buttoned up and everything. You have some of these outrageous things. I mean, you remember when GoDaddy became a part of with Danica Patrick? It's like, GoDaddy, what is that? I mean, they had to find their very specific driver that was going to service their niche right there, and they found her, and she made them a lot of money, I think. Somebody will step into this thing and get Kyle Busch. He ain't going anywhere, I don't think, unless he chooses to go somewhere else.
Well, he's
and
got,
I don't know where he'd go.
He's got Toyota backing, so he's got, you know, Dave Wilson says that he wants him to retire with Gibbs and retire with Toyota. So what was it we saw the other day? I think Adam Stern, our buddy Adam Stern, was reporting that there's a technology company that's in the run to be only a one-year deal, but it's still a year's worth of sponsorship. So especially if they hang on the whole year. It's kind of like Ally over there with Alex Bowman. Ally is one of the only full-time sponsorships that's literally there for 38 races.
Yeah. Kyle Busch, only active driver right now with more than one championship. So he's.
I still call it one and a half.
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
2015 with the half season still
with the
rubs me the wrong way with the broke leg.
Yeah, broke leg over there at Daytona. But that's Kyle Busch. We'll continue to follow that as the season rolls on. All Star Race happening tonight. $1 million on the line. This used to be a marquee event. I mean, we've watched the Charlotte thing, the hot night or whatever they call it, over and over. It was on this week. I mean, we've seen that. We've seen the Darrell Waltrip, Rusty Wallace, 1989. You know, Junior Johnson, Darrell Walter blowing the motor up in the 85 race. That motor was so cheated up that you know, he's at 9,000 RPM, just pushes the clutch in, it disintegrates, and you've had all of that. But the race has lost the luster. There needs to be, I don't know, Bobby, I'm thinking that with this, with Texas Motor Speedway, we'll be there tomorrow for that. We'll have you some coverage on the horn. That there, with this car, Texas Motor Speedway, in desperate need of something very entertaining, I think maybe this is the year that the race and the track presents something that's going to help them both very much. But I still think that this format, it changes all the time. I can't keep up with all the changes. It's like, I really wish I saw something with The Athletic where they were talking to some of the drivers of what they should do. And a lot of it is, let's do something different. Let's go to a track that we don't race all the time. Let's go hit a short track. Crying out loud, Wilkesboro would be the place to run it right now if you had the infrastructure. But something needs to happen here, because I'm kind of, with the All-Star race, I'm kind of like with the Pro Bowl. I'm like, why are we even doing it?
Well, with as many guys
besides
as getting
the money,
in,
I mean the money. Yeah.
With as many guys that are getting in, I think you're going to get 22 guys in. There's only 36 on a regular race weekend, so it's almost like you get half the field. So it's the top. In theory, it's the top half of the field. You don't get a lot of the Cody Wares and some of the other ones, the BJ McLeods and stuff like that are going to clog up the cautions. But this is the year that they really need each other. TMS needs
Absolutely.
Something. They need a shot in the arm. The All-Star race needs a shot in the arm. There's never been a more important All-Star race than now. Will there always be one? Sure. You had the one at Bristol for the COVID-shortened year, but that one really lackluster, too, in terms of what that one was going to be able to bring in 2020. So, I don't know. I guess the last one, I mean, I liked it at Charlotte, even though that they ran there every year. It just made for a better race week when you got people coming in. You go to the All-Star race, and you spend the whole week in Charlotte.
It's home, yeah.
All of
it's
that
home.
Stuff, and then you go to the 600. It was, I guess maybe because we did that for so long, that was the right way to do it.
Yeah, and you know, the format now, what are the 25, 25, 25, and 50? Depending from past experiences of what we've seen at TMS, this race could really go quick. I mean, those 25-lap segments, man, if you're not wadding stuff up and so forth and so on, they're going to be fast, man.
Mm.
And they're doing the stuff with pit stops and all of that. I get all of that, but I mean, there needs to be something. I've always thought it's weird where you come out for the All-Star race, and like you said, everybody gets in. It's like the damn Clash. You know, the Clash, I remember in 81, the Clash had 7 cars, you know, because it was a very distinct resume that you had to have from the prior season to get in there, win a pole, and you only had 7 pole winners. But now everybody's in this. It's the same car all the time. It's like, do something different. I mean, I don't know. Do an obstacle course. I don't know. I mean, let them do a 3-legged race. Hell, I don't know. Just do something like field day in elementary. Remember field day?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do something like that.
Well, they got to do something. The NHL changed up their All-Star race and stuff like that. As far as moving it to a short track, I don't know. Wilkesboro's getting a lot of the pub now. I still think they're going to move the All-Star race to Nashville. The fairgrounds will probably do it.
Yeah.
Because what they're going to do, it's a made-for-TV event is what it is now, because due to the time constraints and stuff like that, they've got it into a nice little package.
Sure.
And it's a perfect 3-hour window, 2.5-hour window with the driver introductions and stuff like that. But it's got to it's lost the luster that it once had.
Yeah.
I think when 92 when they went underneath the lights and they lit a mile and a half super speedway for the first time.
Sure.
I mean, you remember that. That was the
one hot night.
That was the one hot night. But it was unheard of to light a speedway. And then they did, and the racing, you know, Kyle Petty's the only guy that people know who finished second in the All-Star race.
Wasn't that when, watching the behind the scenes when they hit the lights, and was it Bruton or Humpy that, like, shorted out and his hair caught fire like Michael Jackson?
I think it was Bruton.
Bruton Smith. He had the Michael Jackson happening back in 92, burned him all up, but hell, he just kept going, though. He didn't even stop. He just
showman.
Kept doing what he was doing. But, and the thing about it is you can really, kind of our point with all of this is go watch the promos for this race tomorrow. It's all old footage. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing recent. I think I saw something the other day where Boyer was, you know, trying to hit Newman. I mean, you had that, but that wasn't the antics and the flair and the excitement. This is, you know, $1 million, no points, all of that. Yeah, we know all of that stuff, but it just doesn't live up to the billing, and it's really hard to sell it. It's like when you got an old broke down junky Ford pickup and you're trying to man this beautiful thing and nobody's going to buy it because it's a turd, and that's kind of what it seems like to me with Fox trying to sell this All-Star race. It's like, how about some footage from 1985 and then the great race in 2000 and in 92 was this. It's like, how about something within the last 10 years, for crying out loud?
Yeah, but that $1 million has a chance to sell it. I was talking to some people at work. They said, what makes this race different than everything else? Because they had saw one of the commercials on Fox when they were watching baseball. It's like, it pays $1 million to win. They're like, literally? Like, $1 million? So, yeah, one guy wins $1 million for winning this race. They're like, what does second place pay? I have no idea. Don't care.
I don't know. But, and that's the thing. The other part about it is, you know, we've talked to our friends at Texas Motor Speedway, and that place, like yesterday when I messaged you, it's like, that place has so much, what do they call it? PJ1 on it. It's like, man, they are desperately trying to get a second line. So a pretty decent race last night. Our man Stuart Friesen, who almost was on the show.
Almost, yeah.
Oh, man.
He drove the wheels off that thing on that restart.
That was a very good race. And we'll see what happens this afternoon with the Xfinity race. But they're really trying to make grooves there. And I don't know. You know, the change with the car has produced really good competition. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. But you said it best. This race and that racetrack need each other so badly right now.
Yeah, they really do. And what do you think about the changes at TMS where they took out every other row and put in like a bar? I think that's a great idea in theory, but it's like I was talking to our buddy Mike Knotts last night. On TV, if they start filling that place up and every other row looks empty, the haters are going to hate.
Of course.
But
of
I think course. It's for his fan amenity, I think that's great. It was a smart idea. You eliminate half the seats and it looks like it's going to be full.
Yeah, no doubt. As somebody who enjoys alcohol, I like the idea. I think that's pretty cool. And they're really, I don't know, you know, a lot of people are questioning the future of Texas Motor Speedway. With the IndyCar thing, can't lose IndyCar. I mean, you got to have an IndyCar race. I wish the IndyCar race would have been last week, not the Grand Prix. But, you know, that's a whole different discussion. But, I mean, Texas Motor Speedway, really, I mean, it was an innovator. It was an innovator. It and Charlotte were really the ones. But it's gone a little.
It's a little stale.
Stale, yeah, yeah.
It's stale, but it's still too big of a market to completely eliminate it. There'll be at least one race at TMS.
I don't see
him completely eliminating. Same thing like the trucks. I think the trucks have run 48 or 49 races at TMS. Texas is where they need to run. They need to run at Texas Motor Speedway, and they need to run at COTA, because despite the fact that gas is getting to be $4.50 a gallon, there's still more trucks here than anywhere else.
Absolutely. And it still does. I mean, still going to the place. I mean, it still takes your breath away. I mean, when you drive up to that place and you walk in, and if you hit a tunnel or you go out into the infield, and I will say it looked like from what I saw yesterday that it looks like you got a lot of people camping in there,
mm-hmm.
and that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. Hopefully this race produces what they both desperately need. Huge weekend for both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. This is one of the most important All-Star races and one of the most important races as a whole at TMS in a long time.
Absolutely. So hopefully that'll go off. That is tomorrow night. It's going to be under the lights. It'll be some good TV. It's going to be on FS1. Of course, it's not on Big Fox, but you know, golf will be done. I don't know what else may be going on at NBA. I don't know what the playoff schedule is at this point, but I think it can capture some eyes if you get some antics, if you get a little bit of excitement. I think it could be a good night.
I think if it was on Network Fox, it'd be a little better, catching a different audience as late as it's going to be, like they did for Easter.
Yeah.
And so I think that would have been a little better to have it on Network Fox, but the race to watch is going to be the Open.
Yeah.
Here the last 4 or 5 years, the Open race, which is like the qualifying race, if you will, has come through and been the better of the two races, better than the All-Star race, but it's a little shorter format. All the guys get in, but I think watch the Open race for sure.
And Blake Shelton, for crying out loud, if you're going to be there, I know one song, This Is Austin. No, I know the This Is Austin song, and I know the I Lived It one. I like the I Lived It one because a lot of what he's talking about, I lived through that. That's mm-hmm. my childhood. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
I might have to go do a little toe tapping at that one tomorrow.
Maybe.
We'll have to see. That is Blake Shelton at the All-Star. He's going to be the Grand Marshal, too. He's going to give the command.
Really?
I wonder if his wife's going to be there.
Did you see the guy for the command last night for the truck race? He got a little too excited for my taste.
Oh, Lord. I might have to bring back, rate the command again. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Miss Gwen, if she's there, I might have to go shake her hand.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It could be fun trying to find her through all those bodyguards.
It'd be a good way to get arrested. Go visit the DFW jail. That's probably what would happen to me. It is May. It is time for the Indianapolis 500. They're qualifying right now. And that massive race is next weekend. The biggest day in racing. That's coming up Memorial Day weekend. We're going to talk to Jade Gerse. He is there. And we're going to get the intel on the Indianapolis 500. It's going to be some great talk coming up. It's Revved Up ATX on the Horn. We're live local digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
I got rice cooking in the microwave. Got a 3-day beard I don't plan to shave. And it's a goofy thing, but I just gotta say, hey, I'm a doing all right. Yeah, I think I'll
This is where Austin talks racing. It is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. At Revved Up ATX on Twitter and Instagram. At The Horn ATX. Bobby Chaffee, Rodney Rodriguez, Ty Henderson. This season, the Horn and Flex ATX present the Flex AT, the All Flex team, the best of the best in high school football in our area. The Flex team will be recognized at a banquet in 2023. Keep listening to the Horn for now on how the team will be determined, and check out flexatx.com for more information. Position watch list will be revealed starting after Memorial Day. The Horn and Flex ATX, your source for high school sports and your source for motorsports, is Revved Up ATX. Magical month of May. There is only one greatest spectacle in racing, and it is the best day ever. The day is great, but right in the middle of it, it is the Indianapolis 500, just the greatest race of them all. Heading to the Carroll's Cafe and Cantina Hotline, great friend of the show. It's New York Times bestselling author. His latest work is out, A Checkered Past with Al Unser Jr. It is a must-read. Good stuff. I haven't read it, but I've heard fantastic stuff about it. We welcome back to the airwaves here in Austin. It is our friend Jade Gerse. Jade, how we doing, sir?
Hey, Rodney, doing great. Just watching Indy qualifying. It's magical every year.
I have to tell you, Jade. So you know, I was thinking about this on the drive-in this morning. No matter how things change in the motorsports industry, I mean, things change, cars change, people change, whatever it is, there still is only one Indianapolis 500, this whole lead-up into the race and then the race itself. There's only one Indy 500. Might have lost him, or something got good.
Have you got you? You disappeared, but I'm back.
Okay,
so
good,
sorry about
good
that.
No problem. I thought maybe somebody hit the fence or something when you were gone there for a bit. So Jade, there is only one Indy 500. No matter how things change, there's one and only, and it is still just an amazing month leading into this race.
You couldn't be more right. I am not really a sentimental person, but each month of May it's just magical to me.
Yeah.
I'm like I'm transported back to when I was 8 years old listening to it on the radio. And no matter what changes each year, the qualifying and then the race always seems to live up to its billing.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jane, how is the? It used to be the magical runs to get into the last row to be one of the amazing 33 drivers and teams to qualify for the Indianapolis 500. Now, with some of the budgets and stuff, we get lucky and we get 33 cars right on the number. And it seems like now the challenge is at the front of the field to try to get. Now they've rechanged qualifying a couple of different times. What's the industry feel out there versus this battle with the top 12 trying to do 2 days worth of qualifying to get the top couple of rows done?
I think it's been positively received. They do seem to tweak the qualifying format quite often. This year it means if you want to win the pole for the 500, you're going to have to make three different qualifying runs to achieve that. So, again, slightly different than in years past, but I think the drivers feel like it's their job to do it, even though I think it can be terrifying for them. But again, the format changes slightly, but it seems the drama stays the same.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Jay, I mean, I'd love to get your opinion. I truly think that we're going to have a five-time winner here at some point. I think that opportunity is finally there. We've got a guy there that really still seems to be on point. Heck, it may happen this year. Your thoughts on that? Do you think we're finally going to have a five-time winner of the Indy 500?
I would not bet against Elio. Mm-hmm. That is for certain. And he's not had a great month yet, but he is just so smooth and so precise on race day that he's definitely one of the guys. I would say this year we've got probably 20 drivers that I would not be shocked or surprised to see take the checkered flag. It's really so close and so tight that Elio is definitely in that group, but if somebody tries to convince you that they know who's going to win or that they know who's the favorite, I think they're lying to you. It's mm-hmm. really up in the air this year. So many great stories and so many teams and drivers really performing well. But again, for me as a race fan, I love that. I love seeing the green flag when you have no idea in the world what's going to happen mm-hmm. or who's going to come out on top.
Yes, sir.
Jade, let's talk about the racetrack itself. Obviously, when Roger Penske bought the place a couple of years ago, probably one of the more secretive announcements in motorsports. Not a lot of people heard the rumblings about it. And then when it got released, everybody went, wow, they sold it, and they sold it to the right guy. Now we've gone through a couple of COVID issues and a couple of years of slim pickings there in the grandstands and stuff like that. Now they're expected not quite a full house. What have you seen change in the Speedway since Penske and the Penske Entertainment Group bought the racetrack a couple of years ago?
I think they've done a lot of good. Some of it may not show up if you're watching on television, but if you're there in person as a fan, the fan amenities and they've spent a lot of money refurbishing most, if not all, of the things like the restrooms and just upgrades that bring it to sort of that Penske level of quality and excellence. You know, even something as simple as the grass in the infield and on the golf course, Penske says he wants this to look like the Masters of auto racing. And again, some of that is very subtle that may not show up on your television, but as a race fan, if you're in attendance, it's really, slowly but surely just each year he's doing more and more. And I also don't think they're done. I think it'll just continue from here on. Roger doesn't do it if it's not 100% the right thing to do. So I'm anxious to see what comes in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Jade Gerst with us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline talking Indianapolis 500. And just especially these couple of weeks now that we're a week out from this, just the atmosphere in Indianapolis. When you talk about when a community coming together, I mean, you see it. I mean, with Charlotte, we were just talking about Charlotte with NASCAR country and so forth, and it does happen. But in Speedway, it's like, oh my goodness, it is probably the most exciting day of the year on race day.
It is, and I'm biased, but I've lived in both Indianapolis and Charlotte, and there's really no comparison. Indianapolis just absolutely brings out the best in their city. You know, they playfully each year they rename certain streets for the drivers, and I mean that's a subtle thing, but it's the whole city gets behind it, and you definitely know that it's the month of May because every grocery store has a display, and you know, everywhere you look, there is a reminder that it's Indy 500 time in Indianapolis. Mm.
Jade, you let me right into my next question. So Rodney has an issue with having the 2 weeks of May at Indianapolis with the GMR Grand Prix and then a couple of weeks later the Indianapolis 500. You talked about the month of May out there in Indianapolis. What's the feel and what's your take on it? Do they still need to spend the entire month, like do the Grand Prix at the beginning of the month and spend the whole month in Indy like back in the old days? Or is 2 weeks in Indy still enough to make it feel magical like it used to?
Well, I've written a lot of books, and I have three books that I consider my love letters to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And there was a certain magic about the olden days of being there all month. I think the economics and the direction that the sport has taken, it's just no longer realistic to do it the way that it was done for so many years. So as a traditional guy, it's like, oh, that'd be fun. But as a realist and as a business owner, I can understand why it is no longer the entire month of May. Those of us that are still involved, we still call it the month of May. We won't let that go. But I think it is a sign of the reality of the economy and the sport and you know, everything these days is compact and quicker and a little less drawn out than sort of the olden days that some of us remember.
No doubt. Jade, I'd love your thoughts. One of the things that I talk about on here quite a bit is where I feel bad for IndyCar. Obviously, this right now, we are in the best time of the year for IndyCar, but I feel bad for IndyCar. I wish, easier said than done, I just have lots of ideas and no financial way to pull things off. I wish there were more IndyCar races throughout the season, because it seems like to me, like 22, 24, because it seems like something really good happens and then boom, there nothing for about 3 weeks. And meanwhile, Formula One and NASCAR just, you know, burning stuff up. Do you think maybe an expanded schedule would help the IndyCar season, not just the 500, but the season, if you could have a few more races?
I think I would say it's mixed. You know, everyone sees that NASCAR races, you know, nearly 40 times a year in the Cup Series. And having spent, you know, almost a decade in the Cup garage, I feel like NASCAR is oversaturated. It's sort of gone beyond what is best for the sport. But IndyCar does have those lulls in the schedule. I really can't. I don't know enough about the decisions to choose the number of races. There still seems to be rumblings that they want to add an international race. But I do think that you're right. There are times in the year where there's, say, one race per month up until May. And, you know, I'm a fan. I want to see more racing. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. But again, I don't know the economics or the decision making of why there is not more races on their calendar.
Mm-hmm. So, Jade, we have two basic really good racetracks in our back pocket here. Obviously, we got COTA right down the road, and we got Texas Motor Speedway up the road in Fort Worth. It seems like the IndyCar race at TMS was really good this last time. They needed the shot in the arm to be good. They're talking about maybe not coming back to TMS, not coming back to Texas Motor Speedway. And then we've also wondered why they haven't come back to COTA after a really good race on the first time. What is the rumblings about potentially either keeping that race at TMS or coming back to COTA? Because they need a Texas market for sure.
Absolutely. I think the rumors about not coming back to Texas seemingly have been in play each year since we started going to TMS. So that's nothing new. I can't speak to the reasons why they chose not to go back to COTA, because it's certainly a world-class facility. IndyCar is complex in that sometimes the track owner promotes the race. Sometimes IndyCar will literally just rent the track and then IndyCar promotes it. And so I don't know. I can't give you a good reason why they didn't come back to COTA. But I feel like, I mean, I love Austin, first of all. So I think that it's a good market to race. And certainly the Texas as a whole is somewhere that you've got to be there. It's really such a prominent market for a lot of the sponsors and, a lot of the manufacturers. So I don't know. I would be stunned if they don't continue at Texas Motor Speedway, but I can't give you any insight, or I don't have any insight into the decision at COTA, but it's certainly a great city to come race. And I enjoy it every time.
Yes, sir. So Jade, before we let you get back to qualifying, what I boldly said here, I think about a month ago, that Jimmy Johnson was going to win the Indianapolis 500. All of these years that we have watched the Indy 500, if that happens, how weird is it going to be for we go back and chronicle everything that's happened? A 7-time NASCAR champion wins the greatest spectacle in racing.
It would not entirely shock me. He's with the Ganassi team, which has been the dominant team thus far in practice. And he's definitely such a quick student. There was very compelling coverage of a practice session earlier this week where Jimmy got too high in turn two and scraped the wall, and then came back in and had Tony Kanaan and Scott Dixon give him about an hour tutorial about why that happened or how to avoid that. And I still think there's some inexperience there, but he has a great team, a great car. And so, again, I would not be stunned if he were to pull it off. But as of right now, just looking at the qualifying at the moment, he's sixth fastest. And I think we're about two-thirds of the way through the first runs for everybody. So there's definitely no question that he's a fast learner and that his team and his car is capable of bringing home that checkered flag.
Absolutely. He already has got the milk picked out, so we'll see how that all works out.
That's right.
So, Jade, but one more thing. So let's talk about I loved when you mentioned to me Octane Press, all of your great work, based right here out of Austin. That's pretty cool.
They are. They are really a great publisher to work with, and the last four books that I've written have been with Octane Press. So it's really cool that they're a relatively small company, but based in Austin and really growing these past couple years. And so it's another point of pride, or another reason why I really like Austin as a city. And so, they've been great. And I kind of joked earlier about three of my books being sort of love letters to Indianapolis, but I wrote a book called Beast, which was critically acclaimed. But then my last two books have been with the late John Andretti. And then you mentioned my most recent book with Al Unser Jr. This is the 30th anniversary of his very first win at Indy, and it's really been received well. So really thrilled to work with a local Austin company to help get my work out to the world and out to the public.
Absolutely. Always good stuff. Top notch right there, sir. Jade, enjoy this build up as we get ready to head into the 500. Let's connect during the week and thereafter, and compare notes on what we see at Indianapolis.
That sounds great. I'm like a kid here watching it all on my TV screen. I can't wait for next Sunday.
You bet. All right, sir. Be well. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, guys. You take care.
You bet. There he is, Jade Gerst. Good stuff. Indianapolis 500, that is coming up next week, next Sunday, along with Monaco, along with the 600, and biggest day in racing. Up next, got to talk Formula One as they head to Spain, getting ready for Monaco. Some changes in some cars. We'll get you that. More pit stop news and notes and places for races. It's 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Great Indy 500 conversation with Jade Gerst. We'll have that podcast at hornfm.com. Of course, you can catch all of your podcasts there. Every weekday show, all of the Saturday shows, Sunday shows, everything is right there. The podcast section at hornfm.com. Pit stop news and notes, places for races as we get prepared. NASCAR All-Star Weekend. But, of course, we've got to talk about the Horse and Bull Show. The Horse and Bull Show heads to Spain. And Charles Leclerc is on the pole again. Max Verstappen will go second. But I think what's interesting with this race, Bobby, and that's Formula One does what they do. I mean, it's just this international, very prestigious, obviously. But Aston Martin, Mercedes, and Ferrari are all going into Spain with changes to the race car, making changes right in the dadgum middle of the season. It's unbelievable that happens.
And the cars looked completely different.
Isn't that weird?
It's the crazy. Side pods look totally different. If you've been wondering what, you turn on the race on Sunday and you look at it and you're like, what are these cars? They look totally different. The side pods, they cut a bunch of weight out of them and took a bunch of skin off of them. And man, they look completely different. But they don't look bad. They look pretty good.
I think what's interesting with the Mercedes, I was looking at some stuff with Mercedes. And obviously Mercedes, what, third best right now probably, I would say. Close, but third best. It's really weird. They've got they're gonna have stiffening rods on those cars. I mean, there's spots for them, I guess, for flex or porpoising, whatever they call it in Formula One. That's really odd. But I think it's so weird where, you know, like with NASCAR, it's like, okay, here's the rules. Of course, with this car now, here's your car, put it together. But like these, it's like, okay, Aston Martin, you can do this. Red Bull, you're gonna change your wings. Mercedes, you're going to get in here. It's the floor. I guess the floor is what's really changing up, and maybe this is going to be. Maybe this is that little extra that Lewis Hamilton needs. I don't know.
But they kept talking about having a bullet in the gun that they didn't have their best stuff for. Maybe this is the new thing that they were talking about with that new car. But I think Lewis Hamilton just needs to get his mind right. That's the problem with Hamilton. I think he's got too many outside voices in there.
Nose ring.
Probably. It's slowing him down a little bit. But I just think that Hamilton needs to get better. George Russell is outperforming him as general and then just in the race. I mean, I think Hamilton ends up with the better finishes at the end. But as far as just general outperformance through the day, George Russell is running circles around him.
And I think a lot of it is that psyche, I mean, that you talk about. I mean, you go back and you look last year and the way the season ended, yeah, he probably should have been the world champion again. But he's not. That's the bottom line. You can't change that. But like we've talked about it for the last year and a half when it comes to Formula One. There hadn't been anybody that's been able to go toe-to-toe with him. And Max Verstappen did that and beat him. And I think that's something... I thought that it was going to be drive. I mean, remember when we talked to Rachel Brooks on here, she talked about that it was going to be that's really going to drive him. And that's not there. That's not there. You said it. He's a very distracted race driver right now.
Yeah, very distracted. It's just not there. But you got to figure Ferrari's got to start winning some races more so than they have. I mean, Leclerc has shown speed just nonstop, being on pole after pole after pole. Ferrari just needs to put a couple of races together, and you might end up with a Ferrari 1-2 there in Spain with him and Carlos Sainz.
Absolutely. Fourth pole of the year, and it will be Leclerc. But so do you think Max obviously has had a couple of bad races, but we're seeing Verstappen come back to being Max Verstappen. Do you think at some point here, maybe after Monaco, maybe at Monaco, do you think that we're going to see Verstappen come alive and that he's going to be able to shush the Ferrari, or is Ferrari really this good?
I think Ferrari just needs to put some more races together. I'm still on board with the Leclerc winning Monaco because I think his qualifying package is so good. Qualifying is so super important that you got to have it.
Absolutely. Places for races, my friend.
All right, real quick. So we've got the Xfinity race coming up at 12:30 today from TMS. All-Star qualifying at 6 p.m. on FS1. Tomorrow, Indy 500 qualifying for the top couple of rows, 3 p.m. on Network NBC. All-Star Open, 4:30 on FS1. The All-Star race itself, 7 o'clock on FS1. And the aforementioned Spanish Grand Prix, Formula One at Barcelona, 8 o'clock in the morning on ESPN tomorrow morning.
Great stuff coming up. Enjoy your weekend. It's Revved Up ATX. This is where Austin talks racing. For Bobby, for Ty, I'm Rodney. We're back next the Saturday after with Revved Up ATX on the Horn.